This morning, we're going to kind of focus in, although it applies to you if you're not in school, this still applies to you, but we're going to focus specifically on all of our students headed back to school, and we're going to do that by praying God's protection over them. Now, if you did the 30-day prayer challenge, this was one of the days that we focused on. I think it was day 10, talking about God's protection. And what I want to just make sure it's clear when I'm using that word protection, that we understand what we're actually asking for and praying for. Now, there's multiple ways you could pray about it. Praying for God's protection, like safety, God, just keep us safe when we're traveling. We always do that, traveling mercies. Keep us safe when I'm going to a different country. God, keep them safe when they go to the store. If you've got a new driver, God, keep everybody else safe on the road because my kid's driving now. We all get those prayers, and you know the scriptures have prayers like that. A lot of the Psalms are praying in that way. Psalm 91 prays for a lot of different things. Actually, I remember back in 100 years ago in 2020, when you know something called COVID was happening. This was March, and it was a very crazy time in the world. I remember coming to church that Sunday. It was the last Sunday, I think, that we met in person in March. And I remember using Psalm 91, and we prayed it together as a church because it specifically talks about different diseases, pestilence, all kinds of things that we were legitimately praying God would protect us. Psalm 91 does this. It begins this way. Lots of psalms begin this way in terms of who God is as our almighty fortress. We sang about that. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And so over and over again, Psalm 46, very similar, we get this image of God being a shield, a fortress, a refuge, a rock, and it's kind of like this idea of protection from something out there trying to get us in some way or going into a situation, and we just want people to be safe. That's normal. That's natural. I pray it all the time. You do as well. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about a word that is translated NIV that Jesus actually prays this. He says protection, but what he actually is saying is more in line with what he prayed in Matthew chapter 6. This is the Lord's Prayer. Many of you grew up memorizing this. And at the end, towards the end of that prayer, before you get to all the power, glory is all yours forever, amen, the very last thing Jesus says, this is from Matthew's gospel, verse 13, at the end of that little section about the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So if you've prayed the Lord's Prayer, you've said that every time you've prayed it in some fashion. Now that word temptation, again, is not the idea that God is tempting us to sin. James has a lot to say about that and how God does not do that. And in fact, the word itself, while it can be confusing for our English ears, is more in line with what Jesus just experienced in Matthew chapter 4, or Luke chapter 4, one of those chapter 4s, Jesus out in the desert being tested by Satan. And so what we're actually praying here and what Jesus is encouraging us to pray is that we want to experience this testing and that God would deliver us from the one who wants to test us and try us, and that is the evil one. Or some translations just use the word evil, and we could just substitute the ways of the world. Like the testing comes when it's, here's the choice you have, and here's God's way. Which one are you going to choose? Ted thinks this is the best way. It seems to line up with what the rest of culture is saying. Oh, great. But here's God's way. One leads me towards God, one leads me away from God. So Jesus is telling us to pray that we would not experience that testing, but should we experience it, God would deliver us from that test. Jesus says that for Peter when he tells him in Luke's gospel, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I am going to pray that you would be delivered. The testing is real. The battle is all around us. It happens all the time. And so what Jesus is actually telling us to pray for in the Lord's Prayer is about when our faith is tested. Now, yeah, our faith gets tested by temptation, like, oh, this looks really good. Maybe I should choose this. All the voices in my head are saying I should choose this. All my friends are saying I should choose this. All of media is telling me I should choose this. Yeah, that's a real temptation, but ultimately you're being tested on whether or not what God says is good. And are you going to choose the good or the lies that you're being told? So I'm making that clarification and definition because in John 17 is the longest recorded prayer we have of Jesus. He's getting ready to go to the Father, and he prays for his disciples. Now, while he is actually praying for the disciples that were following him, I believe the prayer can apply to our lives as well. Because it applies to the same things we face the disciples face. Well, their faith was tested in a lot of ways. Well, guess what? So is yours. All the time, your faith is being tested. And we want to bring that out specifically because how do we win those battles? How do we face those times of testing and overcome them? Well, I'm suggesting to you, I think Jesus is saying to us, the best way to fight those battles is in prayer. The best way to help others fight those battles, Jesus says to Peter, hey, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I'm going to pray for you. The best way to help somebody else fight those battles is to pray for them. And so Jesus gives us the example in John 17, the longest recorded prayer we have of his. And here we pick it up, Jesus praying for his disciples. And he says, I have revealed you, meaning I've revealed you, the Father, to those whom you gave me out of the world. He's talking about his disciples. Remember the stories? Jesus is walking along. He sees Peter and Andrew. He says, hey, drop your nets and come follow me. The idea is calling them out of the world to something different, to something new. This thing Jesus was inaugurating, the kingdom of heaven on earth. Jesus is bringing it forward. So you've been serving the alternate kingdom for a long time. I'm inviting you into this new kingdom. So Jesus is saying, I've called them out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. They've been following Jesus. Have they been doing it perfectly? No. Will they even do it perfectly when Jesus goes to the cross? No. But Jesus has seen in them what faithfulness to him looks like, what discipleship looks like. And he says, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. He's praying this to God, Jesus is. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Remember the question Jesus asked the disciples? Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this prophet, some say you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted me. They professed Jesus as Lord. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. This is all talking about their discipleship. And just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Their discipleship wasn't perfect. I pray for them, and I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. He's praying, and he'll pick up on this same statement in a little bit. He's praying for them because he knows they're going to still face this world. All I have is yours, and you have, and all you have is mine. Jesus, again, referencing his divinity. He is God in flesh. And glory has come to me, saying to Jesus, through them, because they are recognizing him as God in flesh. That has a lot of implications for discipleship. And here Jesus says in verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer. Again, this is just before Jesus' betrayal, arrest, crucifixion. I will remain in the world no longer, but they still are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them. Now, that's the NIV translation, but we're going to talk about what that word is actually saying and why I think maybe they're using protect there. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, so that they can remain faithful to their profession of faith, of following Jesus, of who you've called them to be. Because while I was with them, Jesus is saying, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that the scripture would be fulfilled. He's talking about Judas Iscariot there, the one who would betray Jesus. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So Jesus is praying these things because he knows they are going to be challenged. And to experience the full measure of joy that Jesus has is to be able to remain faithful to him even in the midst of challenges that we face. And so the praying God's protection is really about praying for faithfulness, steadfastness, to stand firm in those times of testing. In fact, depending on what version of the Bible you have, the translation, the NIV translated the word protect, but even in my translation, they say some manuscripts would say, or Father, keep them faithful. So in verse 11, it says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. Or it could be translated, Holy Father, keep them faithful to your name. Because we are representing the name of Jesus. We are ambassadors of Christ. And so when we're out in the world, Jesus is saying, God, keep them faithful, steadfast. Help them to stand firm. Because guess what? Your faith is going to be challenged. It's going to be tested. That's why Jesus told us in the Lord's Prayer, God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, don't let us be tested in those ways. But when we are, deliver us in those times of testing. I mean, that's exactly what Jesus prayed for Peter when he would be tested. And so what we're actually praying is that God would help us not to fall into sin. He is helping us to overcome the temptations that are all around us that are trying to move us away from his ways. So when we are praying for protection, we're actually praying for people to be faithful to their confession of faith that Jesus is Lord. And if you are saying that, that has a lot of implications in your life, in your family, the way you speak, the way that you think, the way that you behave. It affects everything. And there's a lot of things the world is saying. Your friend group, this constantly, the algorithms on your phone. Here, this is a better way. You should follow this way. It'd be way easier, less heartache, less hassle. It'd help you avoid conflict. It's more fun. We all face those tests. We all go through those. And if we believe that the battle is actually done through prayer, you're going to fail a lot of those battles if you're not praying. And some of you have been praying. I do pray for my children. You've been praying for your children. I'm a little bit older now, but I still get text messages from my mom. She's still praying for me. It's been a long time. I'm not going to tell you how old she is. She's been praying a long time. 42 years, that's how old I am. I know I look shorter than 42, but that's what I am. I'm 42 years old. Because just like every single one of you, Pastor Ted isn't exempt from the same things that you're battling. And the battle is real. And the protection we're praying for, in fact, in the Lord's Prayer that everybody memorizes, Jesus is even telling us, pray in these times of testing that your faith wouldn't be tested, but when it is, if it is, that you would overcome, that God would deliver you. Now that becomes extremely important as we think about the fact that we are trying to live a different kind of way. As followers of Jesus, we ought to look a little weird to the world. When the world thinks like we do, we don't look quite as weird, but we're starting to think a lot different than the culture we currently find ourselves in. The things that we call good, the things that we say are true, the things that we call beautiful, the world is saying, nope, that is wrong. It's false. Nope, that's ugly. Nope, that's evil. And it's getting flip-flopped. What was good is now called evil. What is evil is now called good. And so our values, the way we live our life, is starting to kind of bump into culture. We've talked about that many times here. And it's going to start looking like you're weird. And here's why that's true. Because this is part of Jesus' prayer. Here's what he says. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. I didn't do anything to the world. And maybe you haven't. There's relationships that are severed, not because I've done anything to wrong them, but simply because of what I believe. The world doesn't like me, not because I've said something to them, but because of the way I live. And Jesus says, yep, that's probably going to happen because for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. When you signed up with Jesus, you joined a different kingdom. The kingdom that you were once living in, you gave the boot. See ya. I'm living in a different kingdom now. That whole baptism rededication service is setting that marker. Nope, here's the line. I'm not going that way anymore. You saying that makes you weird in this world. Because Jesus says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Again, using that word protect, conveying the idea of when they are tested out there in that world, God, may they remain faithful, steadfast, stand firm to their confession of faith, to being a disciple of Jesus. Now, that's what Jesus prayed for his disciples, and I think we could probably apply that to us. I can imagine Jesus asking the Father on our behalf that same thing. God, I know Satan wants to sift Ted like wheat, but may you protect him. May you keep him faithful in his time of testing. We ought to be praying that way. And that day 10 on that 30-day prayer challenge encouraged us, if we don't, to start praying that way. And we are specifically praying this today because we are sending a whole group of students back into the world. Because Jesus says, this is where we get the phrase, in the world but not of the world. They are not of the world, even as Jesus is not of the world. I mean, that's pretty clear. We can all say Jesus was definitely not of this world. Well, if discipleship is all about us looking more like Jesus, then Jesus can say the same thing about us. They're not of that world either, because I wasn't. And I'm forming and shaping them into Christ-likeness. And so our pray God's protection is really important. As I said, this applies to you and me. We are not exempt from these battles. We are not exempt from these tests. And they can come in different ways at different times. But Satan really loves to get after us when we're at some low points. Satan really loves to get after those who are most vulnerable. And so here's the image I want to give you for what I think is going on. Now, some of you are battle-hardened. Like, if you've got gray hair, you've kind of faced a lot more battles than, you know, your kindergartner going to school. Than my 14-year-old who is facing the world. So you've been battle-hardened in ways. That doesn't mean that you're never going to be tested or tried. That doesn't mean you shouldn't pray for faithfulness, being steadfast. Because we know, Scripture tells us, pride goes before the fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. You can fall just like that. That's why we remain in prayer, saying, God, I'm going to face some battles today. Help me fight those battles and win them. But if you're not as battle-hardened, and if you're a new Christian, you know, you're just learning this for the first time. You're getting trained on how to be battle-hardened. And so we're doing this, and we do this before school starts all the time, because we're sending the kids we say are not of the world, that we've been trying to train and shape and form to be followers of Jesus, we're sending them back into that world. And so when they're with us, It's like this herd of zebras. Don't they look nice? Just minding their own business, enjoying the sun out there on the savanna, having a good time. You know, you're at church. It's fun following the Lord. It's great singing these songs. You get that good feeling. I hope that happens. I hope you leave here motivated, inspired. You're like some weight's been lifted off of you because you're meeting with God and you're doing that with a whole group of people. That's awesome. When with your Christian friends, you know, you guys, yeah, the Bible says this about that. That's like being with this herd. Now, with our students, people who are younger, people who are new to the faith, this is why personally investing discipleship needs to happen. Because one day you're going to walk away from that herd and they're not all going to be around. Oh, look at that little zebra. He looks like he's having a good time. Just trotting along, minding his own business. Hey, there's some grass over there. Maybe I'll chew on that. Maybe I'll go jump in this little pond over here. And you got to leave the herd. That's how it works. Even if you're a homeschooler, we've got a bunch of homeschoolers in here. They're going to leave the herd. They're going to be involved in this program at this school. They're going to go hang out with this friend group. And one day they're just not going to be in the herd like they used to be. And so they're going to be out, wandering about. And as they go out, well, on the savanna, if you're a zebra, some things notice when you're out there by yourself. Now, I've named those cute, cuddly lions the world and Satan. They've just spotted that nice little zebra. And if you've ever watched National Geographic of any kind when they're doing this and they're filming all this, lions will look for isolated animals. They will find some that are injured, and what they will do is actually isolate them from the pack or the herd, and they'll pounce on that one. Or they'll isolate a younger one, and they'll pounce on that one. And so that's what these lions are waiting for. Here's this nice little zebra, and these lions are like, all right, here's our chance. So obviously, I'm sure you're getting the analogy I'm using here. That little zebra represents our children, students, from little on up, going back into the world. They're leaving the herd. It happens. It'll happen. If it hasn't yet for you, it'll happen one day. It is so important that you are praying for them when they face that world. Because we all know how powerful the messages of the world can be. And if you are a teenager, how powerful the messages of your friends can be. If you give your student 24/7 access to your phone, this has more influence on your child than you do. We are subjecting them to messages and voices constantly. And students and young people and baby Christians are not battle-hardened. Yes, there is a time in which it's important to protect them. I wouldn't send my child out into a dangerous area. I would go with them. I would protect them. There's certain things that you let your 6-year-old do that you wouldn't let your, or there's certain things you let your 14-year-old do that you wouldn't let your 6-year-old do. There's a level of protection you're giving. And this enemy has infiltrated in a big way. And we don't have to go through all the stats that I've gone through many times at this church of how it's infected them. They are waiting. The ways of the world. Hey, this is what Jesus says. You go to VBS, you learn those stories. You go to Sunday school, you learn those stories. You're in a life group. You're in a connection group. You're doing all those things. But the ways of the world and the power of Satan is real. Why do you think Jesus told us to pray that God would deliver us? And then before he leaves, he prays for his own disciples that I've been the one keeping them faithful, protecting them. But Father, I'm coming to you and they are going to be in the world. They're not leaving the world. And it can be perilous at times, just like out here on this savanna. And so then the chase begins. And you know how you win these battles? It's through prayer. Now, maybe your student doesn't know how to pray for these kinds of things. If you're an adult, you're a dad, you're a mom, you're a grandma, you're a grandpa, you're an aunt, you're an uncle. If you're at this church and there's kids sitting around you, we ought to be praying for them on a regular basis. This is what they're going into every day, and you're not with them 24/7, just like I'm not with mine. And guess what? All of you aren't following me around 24/7 when my faith is being challenged, when I'm getting chased. But it is vital, it is absolutely crucial that we are giving our students, our children, the protection they need from the lies of the enemy. And you can see through some of those lies. A 12-year-old at school can't. That kid in that friend group, well, all of my friends are saying, and their parents are okay with it, so that must mean I could do it too. Why'd my parents not be okay with that? The chase is on. And so we begin the year, because a lot of ways it feels like, I know January 1 is a new year, but a lot of ways it feels like the year's beginning. Now, our church time is going to change in September. People are going to go to school. Sports have probably already started. You've got a new routine already. If you haven't gotten it yet, it's probably coming pretty soon. And we pray on days like today, as a church body, as a church family, for the purpose of praying for protection. Now, I was debating on whether or not I showed the next slide after this, because there's maybe weak stomachs in here. But the pictures I got, this was Google. I just Googled lion chasing animal or zebra or prey or something. This came up. The guy that took the pictures, his name's right up there. And it was actually a little story of, I guess, a safari that they had taken, because I could see jeeps or whatever, and they're just kind of filming this, taking pictures of it. So the end of this story, I didn't just make this up. He got home. He's back with the herd. The lion stopped chasing him, and he made it. A victory, a win. So that worked perfectly for me. That's what your prayers do. Your prayers help to give victory when they're faced with that challenge, they're faced with that test. Are they going to remain faithful, steadfast, stand firm? It is not easy. I've been out of school for 20 years. I feel old. I know, I just told you I'm not that old, but it is way different than when I went to school. If you've been out of school longer than 20 years, I won't ask you to raise your hand. It's way different than when you were there. So the least we could do is pray God's protection over all of our students that are not of the world, but we're sending them back into the world. And the truth is, they can remain faithful. They can remain steadfast. So can you. You do it on a regular basis. It's not like God's left you alone out there. The Holy Spirit that indwells each one of us can give us victory over sin, Satan. He gives us victory over death itself. Not even death has reign in Jesus' kingdom. And so it's important for us to pray protection over our students. So this was just a comment that was made in a commentary I read that talks about the importance of really the decisions our students make have a bigger impact implication than just in this world. Like, we've got eternal things going on. That's the business we're in. It goes beyond just the here and now for eternity. And that's really what discipleship is. You can change somebody's life for all of eternity. You can change the path of their entire family for all of eternity by sharing Jesus. And what we're praying about is that, you know, our 7-year-olds don't get that, but you do. And you're praying God's protection over them because it has bigger implications than just in the here and now. And I thought that was so good to capture what prayer is really all about. And so today we are going to pray that for our students. And we're going to do that in a specific way. Here at Grace Church, I always force this. But I need my daughter Lily, and I need Lily Wisner to come up here real quick for me, because I want to use human being example. Where is my daughter Lily? There she is. And Lily Wisner, come up here for me. Because we're going to do this when we pray for our students. All of you students, you're going to have to get up to, and all of you adults, you're going to have to get up to at some point. Hi, girls. Why don't you face our this beautiful congregation. I need you to stand here, and I need you to stand here, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. This is the image I want you to have in your head, because Julie in a minute is going to come up here and give you instructions on how you can pray for our students the entire year and how you can be a part of what I'm going to show you here, because this is how your prayers work in our students' lives. Okay, so you guys stand close together, like shoulder to shoulder, and just press really tight, like push up against each other as tight as you can, okay? And here's what I'm going to do. So this is you pushing tight against each other, standing firm in your faith, and remaining steadfast in that test. And here's the world, and here's Satan, and here's what they do. And they separate you, and now you're isolated over here, and you're isolated over here. Okay, bring the lions out. I got some lions for today. No, just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to link arms as best as you can. Hold tight. Okay, so here's when you are praying, here's what's going on when the trial, the test, the lions are prowling and trying to devour. Okay, now hold tight. I'm gonna break you apart. Hey, good job. You did it. Easy. Your balance isn't great, but you stayed together. Nice work. Thank you. You did an excellent job. You may have a seat. Aren't they lovely little zebras? So, Julie, if you want to come up here, Julie's going to give us some instructions. But what I wanted the image you to have, it's the yellow one, Steve. The image I wanted you to have is your prayers, whether these are your children or not, is helping them stay linked like that so that they don't get isolated and that God would be able to deliver them from those tests and those trials. And so we want you as a church to be involved in that, and Julie's going to talk about that.
Good morning. I don't know if you saw it coming in, but there is an apple tree over on the wall going down the hallway towards the student rooms. We're going to encourage you to pick an apple. Adopt an Apple is an initiative to unite our church family in covering our students in prayer the entire school year. Simply select an apple from the tree, and don't be shy, you can take more than one, and receive a boy or girl in elementary, middle school, high school, or college. Put that apple on your fridge or in your Bible so you can continually lift them up in prayer. Our hope is to have every apple on our tree go home with someone today. This will be a challenge as we have around 55 apples. Now, the first service took a bunch of them, so some of those apples are gone. But praise God that Grace Church is a church with so much youth, where we have that many young people to hang on that wall in an era when young people are walking away from the church. Each apple includes your child's birth date, activities, and favorite treat. Send them a birthday card, attend their soccer game, or surprise them with a favorite treat. Look for ways to bless them the whole year through. Help this child feel the love of Christ through their church family members. Two of Grace's own wonderful teachers, Jess and Amanda, will be out there at the end of the service to help answer any questions. Thank you for intentionally investing in the lives of our youngest disciples at Grace. And then a second thing I'm going to tell you about is the lovely display over here, the Penn State bags that we gathered items for. They have been put together. There's approximately 100 bags. We jumped through a lot of hoops to be able to get a table on campus over there to distribute these bags. It took it quite a lot, but God came through because he is faithful. We have a date, August 27th, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., where we could use help if you're not working and able to come over and help distribute these bags. That would be wonderful. Pastor Ted's going over. We have a small group of people who will also be there. We're hoping to drum up some conversations with students and let them know that they're loved here in Schuylkill Haven. The bags have personal care items in them, and we're just going to give them out to the students because we love them, because we want them to know that Grace Church is here in the community and we care about them. So if that sounds like something you would like to do, please let me know. Please keep this event in your prayer. As I said, it was hard fought to even get over on campus. Please keep it in prayer that the seeds we sow are falling on fertile soil.
Thanks, Julie. So we'll pray for those bags as well, like Julie said, and if it's a student going away to college for the first time, you know, they probably feel isolated. So this is our way of trying to say, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're not. And it also gives us opportunity to just start some conversations with people that we know need to hear about the Lord. And so we're going to do that on campus, as you heard Julie say. If you have questions about that, talk to Julie. She can answer them for you. But now we do want to pray for our students. We're going to pray for them. Then we're going to sing one more song to close. And then you're going to have an opportunity to go out and grab an apple. As she said, there's no names connected to it except on the back. You got to turn the apple over to get the name. And you do not have to remain anonymous. Like if you got a name and you don't know who the kid is, I mean, there's information there. If you want to introduce yourself or do something, that's totally fine. You don't have to remain anonymous. It might be cool to build a relationship that way, but we want to be praying for them. So I need all of the students to get into the center aisle here. And we're just going to line the center aisle, and you moms and dads can help the students go the whole way through the center aisle. So we're going to go from the back to the front, just lining the center aisle. Okay, kids, and what you're going to do, if you're new to Grace Church, we do weird stuff all the time, so sorry, but you kids, just like I had Lily and Lily link arms, you guys are going to link arms. So stand kind of like this, put your arm like this, and link arms with another student. So we need all the students in line. Mom and Dad, you can help them out. This is getting you ready for school when you get instructions. Let's come up this way a little bit. Armani, you want to come up this way a little bit? Let's stretch it out. Come up this way. And we're going to link arms. You guys link arms. Okay, is everybody linked arms back there? We're good? You guys are linked arms up here. Okay, moms and dads, adults, you're going to stand up. And you're just going to kind of push in a little bit. You can wipe the sweat off the person next to you. Right off their back, we're going to move in towards these kids. And you're just going to kind of put a hand on one of the students. Right on their head, mess up their hair. And if you're still in your seat, can you just stand up for me? If you're in your seat, because we're going to stand to sing anyway. And can you just kind of throw your hands towards the kids? Like, just put your hands towards the kids. And we're going to pray for them. And the whole image that you have, kids, you know that you're not isolated or alone, because look at how many people are going to be praying for you all year. And there's going to be one person that's praying for you on a regular basis. And so don't lose the image of being linked together. And as a church, this is how it works. When we're praying for each other, we are linked together. Our kids need this. And God uses our prayers to be able to help us remain steadfast to him. So let's pray. God, we just come before you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, we come before you this morning in Jesus' name, the name that is above every other name, the name that when it is mentioned, demons flee. When it is mentioned, death itself has lost its sting. And so, God, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would just be on our children, our students, Lord. God, as we send them back into the world, in the world but not of the world, we know, Lord, that that means lots of challenges, lots of times of testing, Lord. And at times, it really does feel like we're isolated out there. And God, you better believe that Satan and the world are like those lions, chasing, prowling, getting ready to pounce. And so, God, we pray your protection over our students. God, we pray that you would deliver them from evil. God, we pray that you would deliver them from the evil one. God, we pray that they would experience Jesus in their lives, in their friend groups, on their sports teams, Lord, on the musical, God, in band, wherever they are, Father, we pray, God, that you would use them. God, help them to be a witness to who Jesus is. Help them not to be ashamed of looking weird because they're choosing Jesus's way instead of the world's way. God, may you just help them to be even more bold. Lots of their friends desperately need to hear about Jesus. And God, they can be that person that shares them. Father, I pray for our teachers. We've got some in here going back into the school, public school or private school, or maybe even some professors returning, Lord. We pray that you would be with them. God, help them in challenging times to be able to witness for Jesus. Help them to be that vessel that you want to use in that student's life, Lord. God, we know that you can do that. And God, we just pray that you would protect them and watch over our students as they prepare to head back into school, back into the world. And we pray it all in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you guys can stay standing and move back to your seat. Again, remember, you're going to have an opportunity to grab an apple for these kids. The tree is when you exit the lobby, hang a right, and you just got to walk down the hallway a little bit to see that tree. Jess and Amanda will be over there if you have questions. But again, this is how we can help our students, our children, do what we all want to do, and that is stand firm in our faith. Be a witness for Jesus. So let's close this morning in that way.